It's Afternoon Jams, 98.5 in the studio, family. Nikki Mills McGee is hanging out with PA. How you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
Man, blacknificent. Blacknificent on this beautiful day. I think you're actually the second candidate that we have interviewed for this county commissioner race.
Okay.
And I've been seeing your name out there. You out here and you've been out here in the streets.
You know what I mean? That's a good thing.
And so I wanted to get you in the studio, kind of get your platform, let West Orlando know a little bit more about Nikki Mills McGee.
Absolutely.
So who is Nikki Mills McGee?
Well, first of all, hey, y'all out there. Hello, West Orlando. Nikki Mills McGee. I am, of course, ready to represent you all. As Paul mentioned, I am running for County Commissioner, District 6. I am from the district. I grew up in the district. I grew up in Pine Hills, to be exact.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow. I grew up in Pine Hills. I went over to Hiawassee Elementary. Well, first we started off in Rock Lake. And when my parents divorced, I moved over to Pine Hills. So we moved here right about third grade or so. So I went over to Hiawassee Elementary. Yeah. Then went over to Robinswood.
You definitely here.
Robinswood. You definitely here. I'm in the place. Then we went to West Orange. You know, they had this thing where they split up Pine Hills. Well, most of us went to Evans, and then some of us went to West Orange.
Okay.
So that was a huge culture shock going all the way over to West Orange, missing a lot of my friends, a lot of my homies from Robinswood, you know, but we still kept in touch. And then after my whole West Orange days, I went off to FAMU, Rattler Nation. So I went there and received... Yeah, I went there and received my bachelor's in political science, and I got a master's, opened up a boutique up there, did well on the business thing, just did my thing, Paul. It was really nice.
So you've been a business person for a long time, then?
I have. Yep. Okay. I grew up in business. My parents are business owners. They are contractors here in Orange County.
That's great. That's great. So why are you choosing to run? Because this is probably going to be a pay cut for a baller like you. You know, you're not doing it for the money.
It is something you want to check off your list. I'm doing it for the people. But, you know, really, in actuality, one of my primary reasons is because I am a people person. Growing up in the community, knowing what we've come from and now where we've, you know, what we've been faced against, I just see that there's a significant change that has to happen within our community. District 6 is nestled between all five of the districts. So we are growing not only outward, but we're getting pushed inward. And I say that because of all of the robust construction that's happening around us. And so my primary reason, Paul, is, you know, after lots of prayer and lots of supplication and, you know, speaking to a lot of my community friends and mentors, I served on a CRC board, which is the Charter Review Board, which is much like the Constitution to Orange County.
Okay.
And I wrote two laws which passed by 86% of the voters and 89% of the voters.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes. So those went very, very well. So after my tenure on that board, I decided, you know, like I said, along with many of my friends and mentors, to just go ahead and put my bid in. You know, once again, being from the community, knowing the landscape of the community, my parents being developers and builders, me having the businesses here, because I failed to mention that I moved my business from Tallahassee down to Orlando, so I've always been in the community. Just knowing my constituents, knowing my friends, knowing my residents, knowing that I can advocate for us and what we need. So that was my primary reason for wanting to run, just to really see a change in District 6 that we deserve.
A few things. Now, on the ballot in November is a tax increase for transportation.
Yes, the sales tax.
Yeah, what is your opinion about that?
You know, Paul, that's a very good question. I get that often. And I have to be honest with you. You know, by the time that I'm in office, and I'm going to go ahead and claim that, but by the time I'm in office, the voters would have spoke on that. You know, so it's, I would like to see it passed, and I would like to see the initiative come through. Only because, you know, when the mayor did a poll back in April, 86% of the people voted for it. So we know that we need an upgrade. That we know.
Right.
I don't feel like in the pandemic that a penny will really stretch us beyond our needs or beyond the things that we have. But I know without a shadow of doubt that District 6, because we have such a large ridership of people who are on the bus, on the Lynx bus, we're going to need some more viable transportation options.
Right.
You know, and the tax is not only specifically for transportation. It's going to cover our public safety measures, just, you know, safer walkways and larger bike lanes and, you know, better lighting and metal mass arms for, you know, our traffic lights. So when we do have a storm like we do, you know, every hurricane season, our lights, that's a public safety issue when our lights go out. Paul, have you ever been at the corner of West Colonial and Hiwassee and the lights are out and people are crossing all crazy or, you know, or on another
part? Fortunately, it's raining this time of day, so I'm at work. Okay. So I missed that. But, you know, I can relate because I already hectic there with the lights on. So.
No. So can you imagine just trying to get through an intersection like that? Where it's thousands of cars that's trying to make these passes. So this transportation tax will cover things like that.
Right.
And, you know, not to mention at the mayor's forum that he gave a few weeks back, the mayor's address, he mentioned that a lot of this money that we're going to have towards this transportation will be raised by tourists. So what better way to have our community benefit for something somebody else paying for?
Amen.
Amen to that. If it's free, it's for me. Let's go.
So really, it won't hurt the citizens.
I agree. I think so. I mean, I think that it'll be for the benefit of our community, and it'll be in the best interest for us to have it.
Do you think our community needs a train system, a subway, or something similar?
You know, I do, and I feel like the SunRail, if it went east-west, I think that that would be the most innovative transportation mode that we can come about on. I feel like being able to travel east-west, much like the 408. I think that that would be transformative for our district and for the county. You know, we have to get away from this bus ridership thing. You know, Lynx is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I used to ride the bus years and, you know, for
come
many
on, you
years.
Don't know nothing about that life.
Man, come on. I used to go down to the Exchange down there downtown years ago. We used to have a little spot called the Exchange where the buses, you know, change routes and we used to hang out there. But I think it's to the point where people are looking for more innovative ways because now you have to go on another side of the county. You know, many people are working, you know, in another part of the district.
Exactly.
You know, they're working in District 5 or District 2. And the nightmare of having to get out to Disney on your job, you know, from District 6, I don't even want to begin to think about what the citizens of the residents endure trying to get out to Disney each and every morning, especially if they're one of the crew members that have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I heard the stories.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah.
So we have to think of something more transformative. We do.
All right. In the studio, Nikki Mims McGee. Now, Nikki can't be your real name. Is it Nicole or what?
Nikki.
They didn't you, Nikki.
Yes.
From Nikki, Prince, Nikki, they heard Nikki. The song, Darling Nikki.
Darling Nikki. Darling Nikki.
What?
Darling Nikki. Yes.
How did I know that? Shout out to your parents, man.
Thank you. Shout out to my parents.
So let's talk about public safety. That's one of your priorities. What would you like to see? What would happen if you were elected county commissioner for this area?
Thank you for that question, Paul. So particularly public safety, the district is, you know, we've been riddled with a lot of violent crimes, meaning as a lot of robberies or carjackings. And I mean, that's throughout the county. I mean, really the state of Florida, if you read the newspaper, everyone's riddled with it. But I think public safety starts with reinitiating homeowners associations and citizen watch programs. A lot of the neighborhoods have gotten away from the neighborhood watches because they've kind of become defunct or just kind of fallen apart in a sense. But I'd like to see more programs like that partnering with homeowners associations to do a homeowners, a community watch. I would also like to partner with police agencies and departments to get a better relationship throughout our community. You know, a lot of times we grow up with that mindset that police officers aren't our friends. But I tell you what, when police officers are in our neighborhoods, it makes a difference when they live in the community that they serve.
That's it.
And so I think my position would be as the next county commissioner is to work with these agencies, these police officers and organizations that will build a better trusting relationship within our community, because the community is so broken sometimes. You know, you hear stories about officers not, you know, respecting who we are and respecting our communities, you know, the police brutality. We see it every day across national news.
Right.
And so it's not just a story of the times. I think that it should start with a conversation. I believe that, you know, where there's problems, then you can speak of solutions. So we know that there's a problem that's in our community. So now we need to speak of the solutions. Another thing is I've just received the FOP endorsement, which is the Fraternal Order of Police endorsement, which is great. So I think that's a wonderful relationship. We forget about people like correctional officers who work down at the detention center that are understaffed. And, you know, they're working a lot of times. When I reached out to them and I received their endorsement, Paul, they explained that they're dealing with so much in that population, that jail population, that, you know, they are social workers. They're mental health counselors. Yes. They are, you know, suicide watch. They are therapists. And so
daddies and all that. I'm a former. You're talking to a former CO who retired. So I definitely can relate to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, my heart goes out to the CO. Shout out to the COs that's out there working each and every day. They're understaffed. They're holding job fairs to try to get people in. That dovetails me into the next thing of vocational training. Right. You know, we need to bring our people to jobs that can give us more a livable wage, a more sustainable living, an affordable living effort.
Right.
Because if we're able to get these jobs through vocational training, such as HVAC, plumbing, you know, construction foreman, then, you know, everyone doesn't have the dream to go to college, and that's fine.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, everybody needs a living. Everyone needs to be able to have a salary that they can live on, that they can put food on the table for their children, or they can be, have a nice roof over their head, whether it's a home, an apartment, or a house, whatever it may be. But we deserve to live, you know, viably. And the fact that, you know, back in the day, they used to say that automation is stealing jobs. You know, I mean, migration is stealing jobs. It's automation that's stealing jobs now.
Right.
When everything that we do now, Paul, is automated. When you go to order your food at a fast food restaurant, or you go to Walmart, look at that. You're checking. Yeah, automation
everything.
Is stealing jobs.
And I love it. I ain't going to lie. But anyway. Question for you, though.
Yes, question for you.
A lot of companies, a lot of bosses are struggling to find people to work.
Yes.
How do we solve that? And I don't know if this is a county commissioner issue, but there is a problem all over the country finding workers.
That's true. I mean, you know, Paul, the pandemic, we know that it has really changed the way that we do things. Some people prefer now to work from home, especially because that now seems to be the bread and butter of our workforce.
Right.
I think, for one, having competitive wages. You know, $15 is not a competitive wage. I'm so sorry.
Right.
The fact that we are dealing with the rent rising like it is, and, you know, these investors coming from outside of Florida and buying up our communities and then driving up the market where homeowners, first-time home buyers, can't even buy a home because they're $400,000 in Pine Hills or $400,000 off of Silver Star. You know, we need to get to a place where it is more affordable to not only live, but to have a competitive wage. Because, I mean, like I mentioned, that is going to be a game changer when people can get the money that they deserve. People will come out in droves if you're paying. And I think that one of the things that the business owners has to understand is that hypothetically, they were shut down for a year and a half, 2 years. You know,
right.
We've kind of readjusted some things. Although they may have lost some things, some businesses continue to make money because they maneuvered and they shifted.
Right.
So now you're going to have to pour some of that money back out into your employees, into your workforce, making sure that they can cover their basic needs of, you know, of food and health and safety and the things that they need for their family.
So McDonald's should be paying $20 now then?
Well, you know, it's not that it should be paying $20, but I think some things offset. If the benefits are good, you know, overtime is available, certain things, sign-on bonuses help to kind of cut the edge. I mean, I don't know that there's a clear-cut thing as far as really answering the question, but I think that there's some different things that can incentivize people to come back into the workforce,
right.
You know, or to seek these higher-paying jobs. Now it's just, you know, people are so complacent, and some people are just, you know, they're okay with staying at home. Even if they are making $15 an hour, they're not spending money on gas. They're not spending money on eating out.
Yes.
They're not spending no money on buying a wardrobe.
They're not dealing with this traffic.
They're not dealing with the traffic. Exactly. Exactly. So
right.
I think that there are pros and cons, but I think, you know, once again, you always looking at certification and vocational trainings to introduce people to different career options. I mean, we do need the service workers. We know that we need that.
Right.
But take care of our service workers.
Exactly.
You know, take care of our service workers and make sure if they're working on a hotel at a hotel down on International Drive, then pay them, even if they are housekeepers or their front desk clerk or their janitors. They need a livable wage. They have family. These are people. Right. You know, these people deserve to live bountifully as well, making sure that all their needs are met and not living the paycheck to paycheck like most of us are doing.
Nikki Mills McGee is in the studio. She's running for County Commissioner District 6. Now, recently, there's been a report about the work, the amount of time spent being a county commissioner. You're a lawyer by trade. I don't know if you had to pay for your degree down there. You got a scholarship to go to FAMU. I don't know if you got a student loan you got to pay back. Ooh. But I do know time is money.
Yes.
If you're elected county commissioner, how do you balance that? Do you still continue to do the legal work? Or are you full-time county commissioner?
I am full-time county commissioner.
You're going to give it up?
I am committed to the people. Woo! Absolutely. I'm committed to the people because this is a full-time job. I have to get in there and I have to see where we start at. And I always say that we have to meet the people at their needs. So there's certain part of the districts that just has had, you know, some really hard times, such as Timber Scan, in the sense of, you know, mm-hmm. I know you do your thing in Michigan, but right. here, you know, District 6 is such a robust community that we have, you know, some areas that are really impoverished that needs attention.
No doubt.
And, you know, I don't want to give those people a part-time, you know, right. effort.
Exactly.
I need to be, you know, rubber where the rubber meets the road. You know, I need to be there in the community, holding town hall meetings in the communities. And like I mentioned, because we're so robust and we're so spread out so far, I want to make sure that I am visible to the community and I am hearing their needs. I have that open door policy where they feel like they can come in, schedule a time to meet with me. How can I do that if I'm there part-time, Paul? That's not going to work. So I put all things to the side to run this campaign. I'm out at the different forums. I'm out at the community events. I'm making myself visible. And this is where it starts. You know, it doesn't slack up. It starts right now, right here, this moment.
Wow. I commend you. I commend anybody that's running for politics. Woo. Because it's not easy, but we definitely need good people. Can you tell us why should they vote for you over the long list of other folks that's out there
Absolutely.
Running?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, District 6, I'm speaking to you particularly. You want a person who is fresh and who has the best interests of the community at heart. Many of my opponents that are in the race have ran for several seats. Either they ran before for this seat or they ran for other seats and were succeeded in a sense. You want someone who knows the district. I'm not a transplant. Okay, so I am from the district. I know the district. I know what we need. Sitting on these several boards that I've sat on, and I was appointed by the Honorable Victoria Siplin, our commissioner now.
Yes.
I was appointed by her on these various boards. So I've met with the constituents. I've met with the residents. I hear what the concerns are. I can get the work done. I know what it takes and what the beginning of a building plan is and what it takes in order to build these projects and get things done. I know what infrastructure looks like. I know what smart building looks like. So you want someone that not only has the understanding of what it takes to get things done and meeting with the community, but you also want to look at the fact that I am willing to work for District 6. I don't have a full-time job where I'm sitting up in another building trying to meet with the people. I am boots to the ground, okay? I am boots to the ground. I'm meeting individuals. I'm hearing their concerns. I'm writing them down. I'm creating task force. You know, mentally, I have prepared for this position for so long. I have mentors that are behind me that have shown me some things that should be done in the community where we've missed the mark a few things on how to grow the community, but a smart growth. So I, with my background of my entrepreneurship, along with my legal background, and the fact that I am a community advocate at heart, I feel and I know that I am the best candidate. And I ask for your vote. I ask for my residents of District 6 to vote Nikki Mims McGee.
How can they reach you?
They can reach me at www.nikki, N-I-K-K-I, the number 4, excuse me, it's voteforNikki.com. So let me do that over. It's www.vote4nikki.com Or they can reach me on my cell. They can hit me up.
You giving out your cell?
I'm going to give out my cell. Uh-oh. Listen, we gotta seal this deal, Paul. We got to seal this deal. I want these people to call me. I want to hear their concerns. And I want to hear what they'd like for us to do. So my number is 689-251-7093. Again, that's 689-251-7093. Call and speak to your future elect county commissioner.
Look at her. She claiming this thing.
I'm claiming it. I'm ready.
Are there any debates coming up?
So, yes, there is a debate coming up on the 21st of this month, which is Thursday, and that is at Tangelo Park Baptist Church.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, it starts at 6. And then I received an email regarding another one that is coming up on the 27th, and I think that's the NAACP forum. So there are a few that are coming up before the end of the month.
All right. Now, we're done with top politics. Let's talk. I want to know Nikki Mills McGee top three books that you have read.
Okay, top three books. Well, that's not fair because it's legal. Legal books.
I mean, that's cool, right, though. We trying to see what you like.
Okay, so my top three books. Let's see. So my top three books, one would be The Four Agreements.
Okay.
Okay.
Who was that by?
Paul.
Okay, don't. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. You know people want to Google it. Okay.
You know, they
Nikki,
do.
Nikki yes. said this. So,
yes. You know. The next one is I'm an avid reader on just like self-care books.
Okay.
So one of them is a Desmond Tutu book just about prayers and self-care and how you live life holistically. So that's a Desmond Tutu book. And then my last one that I read, let's see what that one was. That was a legal book, and that was just pertaining to corporate governance and finance. So that's just pertaining to trademark work and how to craft a little bit better your niche. It's called micro niching, of course. So there's a micro niching facet when you are in law and you have trademarking, you have to micro niche for your client. So that's what that is.
That sounds so boring. Oh my God.
It's super boring, but you know what? We all need trademarks. But those out there with businesses and those out there who have products, don't forget to trademark it. Because it doesn't keep anyone from taking your idea, stealing it, putting their name on it, signing and sealing it, saying it's theirs. So
last question. Actually, I got two questions.
Okay.
Hip hop or R&B? Which one is your favorite?
Ooh. So I am a 90s R&B. I'm a 90s R&B girl and 80s. But I'm going to go with R&B. Only because the hip hop has kind of changed. Lil Baby is my guy. I love Lil Baby. I do. I really love Lil Baby. But, I still like my smooth grooves. You know, on Saturday when you get up and you clean up the house and you want to throw some good music.
Yes.
I'm going to go to R&B.
So give me your top five R&B artists, dead or alive.
Ooh, yes, goodness. So, Anita Baker's in there, right? Because that's R&B.
Yeah, Baby. No doubt. Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know. You know, sometimes it's soul and all of that. So we have Anita Baker. We have, of course, I got to throw a little Michael Jackson in there because I came from the 80s. I'm an 80s baby. So I got to, you know, my top five. It has to have, if you notice, these are older.
Old school.
Old school people.
that's all good.
Let me see who else we have. I absolutely love, because it's kind of corny, but it's kind of mixed in because I have my 8-Ball MJG, but that's rap, you know? This
you
is what I'm saying.
Don't seem like an 8-Ball type. But it's
such an 8-Ball.
From trademark to 8-Ball.
I'm trying to tell you. I'm just going to give you my top five artists, okay? Because that's going to be better because I mix it up. You know, I listen to a little trap and I listen to a little soul. So, you know.
I love it.
That's my balance.
You need a radio show. All right. Okay, so number three,
yes,
R&B.
Yes, R&B. So let's see who else. So let me think of my girl group. Of course, I love when Destiny Child was out. I loved them, of course.
Okay.
They were pretty good. And then, Paul, you put me on the spot.
I know. That's what we're trying to do over here. We're trying to figure where your brain's at. Where you at?
Since I've been running this campaign, I don't even listen to music like that. It's just.
Two more R&B, dead or alive.
All right, so two more R&B, dead or alive. Let me see. Yikes. God doggy. Let me think. Let me see. I listen to a lot of Sade. There we go.
Four.
Spit it out, Nikki. Sade. And I listen to Isaac Brothers. That's out my top five.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. They come to town October 8th. There you go.
Yes, there we go.
Was it tough?
That was so tough. Only because, like I said, I'm just a mixed bag of eight all types of things.
MJG.
You
got
to throw eight ball in there.
Oh, my God. Baby. That's funny. Wow. Wow. I love it. Well, yes. Thank you for stopping by The Wire.
Yes.
Family, tap in with her to website, voteforNikki.com. Vote the number for Nikki, N-I-K-K-I.com. And get to know her. She's running for office here in O-Town. Thank you for stopping by, okay?
Yes, thank you, Paul. Vote Nikki, progress and prosperity.
There you go. Back to more music, Afternoon Jam.